Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the American shit. Let's go, hook him up!
Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Couture. What's going on, Couture?
You had to actually see that bit on Jimmy Fallon to appreciate it. Just hearing it doesn't do justice.
Yeah, it was a race for me to download it because I thought about it like fucking 3 minutes ago, and I was downloading it. Basically, Blog Talk downloaded the second the other theme kicked in, so I wanted to start with it, but unfortunately I had to wait to the other theme music to finish to play it, but I thought that was pretty cool. But for another week, we are not talking wrestling at all. We're basically just doing a Star Wars The Force Awakens review with spoilers, so turn the show off now. You're going to get pissed off that we're going to fuck up the movie for you if you still haven't seen it, because we are going to fuck it up for you.
And we're almost past the point where we even got to say that we're doing spoilers. So it's been long enough. If you haven't seen it yet, you probably don't care.
Well, I don't want to get yelled at like Carl Stern did for posting the Star Wars show on their website where it clearly said spoilers, but he still got yelled at. So just want to get that out of the way so I can tell them to fuck off if they yell at
us. I was actually impressed with myself. I was able to avoid spoilers for a week.
That was pretty impressive. I actually saw the main spoiler 2 minutes after I sat down at my computer after I saw the movie. So had I not seen the movie when I saw it, I probably would have been spoiled and I would have been pissed. And Craig is unable to join us, apparently. he has a family or something, and it's New Year's, and he has something to do that's more important than this, which I don't understand. What could be more important than doing the show?
Or more important than talking about Star Wars.
Yeah. I mean, he's probably outside right now with his son, and they probably got their BB-8 droid rolling around the driveway, and his son's going, Dad, can I please play with it now? We've had it forever. And Craig's like, no, son, you'll break it. You can't play it. And then he'll drop it off the curb and break, and then he'll blame it on his son somehow. But, yeah, so no Craig tonight, no wrestling. Wrestling returns next week. Promise next week we'll talk wrestling. But this basically is going to be an hour of Star Wars review, and if we need to go a little longer, we'll go a little longer, but I just set the show for an hour, so that should be plenty of time since it's just you and me talking about it. And I was actually surprised. I actually saw the movie Friday. I think Wednesday I had gone on Fandango, and they actually had some seats available for like an 11:30 showing, and I went to 3D, and it was one of those where they had the seats that shake the movie. I don't know if you've seen those or used those before. Okay, well, I've seen them, but I've never been in one of those. Basically, it's just a big seat where you sit in it, and when there's a TIE fighter going by, the chair, there goes my Mexican tongue again, fucking starts to shake, and it kind of like is in tune with the movie. So it's actually pretty cool. I mean, it's nothing like super spectacular, or it's not like the Star Wars ride at Disney. You know what I mean? It's just a little shaking, but it actually was pretty cool. So I saw that. And then I saw it last Sunday at the IMAX in 3D. That was really awesome. I mean, screen is so fucking huge.
We went to, actually I didn't, We went on Monday to see it, and I actually didn't even I didn't even order tickets until like the day before, so I didn't have any trouble getting any. You know, I didn't know ticket buying has gotten so advanced. You can just have this like little picture on your phone that you give to them, and they can run it through the little clicker or whatever, and give you your tickets. I thought that was pretty neat. So.
I think like Fandango has something where they're guaranteed so many tickets for every showing up until a certain time, like until like right before it starts or something. You know what I mean? So it's almost, it seemed to me like you can get tickets no matter what. Well, as long as Fandango hasn't sold their tickets out, but it's like, it seems like you can, it's not as hard to get tickets or as people would think it is, you know, with all the lines and pre-ordering and stuff. It's still, like I say, I saw a Friday. I ordered tickets 1 or 2 days before. I thought I was going to have to wait a week, too. But luckily, I didn't have to.
Yeah. We went to see, we saw the, my sister, she didn't like the 3D, so we went to the 2D, but it was still fun.
Man, you should have, like, bought one ticket just for her so she could go to see the non-3D, and then y'all should have gone to the 3D, man. He just cost you like an incredible movie experience.
Well, I can still go. I'm probably going to go see it again, so.
Yeah, I might go see it again myself, too. I was actually kind of watching it earlier. I actually found the fucking link to it, and it was in two parts, and it wasn't horrible. It was, you know, it was basically the guy filming from the audience, but it actually wasn't bad quality for what it was.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt part of it, but I want to go back and see it in 3D and in that chair again. It was pretty cool. but like all the movies, it starts off with the famous crawler, and
it's kind of weird in the beginning because I'm always waiting for when the Star Wars. I was waiting for that 20th Century Fox thing to start. You know, the bump 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 bump. You know, the thing at the beginning of those movies.
Yeah.
The 20th Century Fox thing threw me off because just the Lucasfilm thing flashed up with no sound on it. And then the thing started. But I mean, when the Star Wars thing just flashed on there, like in the start of all the movies, it's just like, oh shit, this. Even that was just awesome. Even when it said Luke Skywalker has vanished, it said, okay, this is fucking great.
I know, it was. I mean, what they wrote down was actually very corny. You know what I mean? But it just was the fact that you're seeing the crawler again and you're getting all hyped and excited. And then as soon as the crawler ends, basically like almost all of them you see. Well, this time you didn't actually see the ship. It was more like the shadow of the ship.
Yeah.
Kind of. And then it kind of blocked out like the sun that was there. And then you see the little ships take off. And right off the bat, I was hoping that, because I didn't hear know what the name was or who Max von Shadow was playing. But when I heard it, I was like, you know what? When I was watching it, it's like this. It would be totally perfect if this is fucking Wedge, goddammit. But I don't think it was Wedge after all. In fact, I'm sure he had a different name. I just never caught it. But that's what I was hoping for. It's like, it's got to be Wedge. It's got to be Wedge. And shit. But we actually got a caller on the line. So before we get really into it, let me get the caller on so we don't get so it doesn't confuse everything. Caller on the line. Caller from area code 813. Who's this?
Hey, Ed. It's D. What's up, man?
Wow. I actually thought you were going to have, you know, New Year's Day, that you'd have something to do and you were going to be busy and we're going to be unable to join us. But to our surprise, we are joined by a former caller of the show many times. I think you've even guest hosted a few times, and that is one Big D. What's going on, Big D?
Man, it's been a while, man. Yes. No, I'm happy to talk Star Wars, my new obsession. Not really a new obsession, but I guess my obsessiveness over this went away for, like, I don't know, 15 years, and now I'm re-obsessed again. No, I did have something to do, and that's talk Star Wars. And anytime somebody wants to talk about Star Wars, especially after this freaking movie, I'm down, man. I mean, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I have to tell you, I asked Big D to call in.
Well, I talked to him actually a couple of days ago, too, one of his threads, where everybody was arguing about whether or not Rey should have kicked Kylo Ren's ass. So,
he's been
thinking about it for days.
All I'm going to say, you're right, and all I'm going to say is this, okay? Look, this is not a perfect movie. There are things to criticize about this film, without question. We know this to be true. There are problems with the movie, but the criticisms from people that I've noticed have been, in my opinion, have been, you gotta, okay, honestly, dude,
they're
you gotta
reaching.
See this movie more than once, huh?
Yeah, they're reaching, they're looking for something, you know what I mean? They're making something out of nothing, you know what I mean? And you know, the way you described the movie, it's not a perfect movie. The first Star Wars was not a perfect movie. The first Star Wars was a very simple movie. They just added some never-before-seen special effects and stuff.
I mean, I feel like if the first Star Wars, I feel like if it came out now, people would criticize it like a lot. And it would, I'd come like, come on, man. But yeah.
Yeah. But we were actually just getting ready to start our review of the movie. So it was Couture's idea. So Couture, anything you want to talk about? As far as like the going into the movie, or you just want to jump into the review of it?
We jump into it. I wanted to start with I thought that really the four main new characters, Rey, Finn, Poe, and Kylo Ren. I thought they fit in really well with the whole universe. You know, the feel of Star Wars. What do you guys think?
I thought they all went good. Unfortunately, they didn't have enough time to focus on Poe. I'm sure he'll get a lot more screenplay in the next one. But as far as Rey was excellent. I thought she was great. Finn, for some reason, seeing the commercials, I just didn't have a feeling he would fit in, but he was actually really great with all the comedy relief, basically. And I thought he'd fit in. Kylo Ren, to me, he's awesome. I was very shocked to find out that it's fucking JP from Grandma's Boy, and I don't know how seriously I could take him after that. But he was, as far as being the character, he was great as the character because a lot of people, we're gonna get into this regarding like how were they able to beat Kylo Ren. Well, Kylo Ren is not a fully trained Jedi; he's a partially trained Jedi. And he's emotionally unstable, and that's, he's not really a Sith. He's basically a Padawan Sith at this point, and people are giving him too much credit for his powers, basically. And I think the next movie, if they play it like the first series. It's going to be the Rudo beatdown, round of the match, and Kylo Ren will be whooping some serious ass in the next one. But I thought he was great. I really thought they were great. Poe was, it's hard to judge him because he wasn't on enough, but I think he'll do all right.
He definitely had a kind of Han Solo smart-ass feel to him, with the quirky lines and stuff like that. When he gets captured, he says, "So you talk first, I talk first." When he's talking to Kylo Ren, that was funny. And I thought Rey and Finn like really had, I really thought everybody had like great chemistry together. When they played off one another, especially Rey and Finn, I thought that was really good.
And what's crazy is that. First of all, she was cute as hell in this movie, right?
Yeah.
She was extremely cute. Like, the whole scene with Daisy Ridley, when she puts on that X-Wing helmet and she's eating, all fast, and, when she's alone, and they played that beautiful song that John Williams wrote for her, which I've been obsessing over. This is her first movie, and she knocked it out of the park. Like, there's potential with this chick, the actress Daisy Ridley, I mean.
Yeah, how old is she exactly, too? Because
she's 22,
a young character. She's 22, okay. So she's just right, slightly above as old as the character, or slightly older than the character. But yeah, she was.
We found out that Rey is 19 and Kylo's 29.
Yeah. So my twin series is out, but I still think they're related, so.
Oh, they are. If you want to get into that, we can get into it, bro. But it's your show. But we can get into that whole thing because I got a lot of stuff to talk about if you want to get into that later.
We'll get into it as we get into it. What did you think of the other of Finn and Kylo and Poe?
I loved all those characters, man. I love Maz Kanata as well. Lupita Nyong'o played her. She's like the new Yoda. She's actually older than Yoda. She's been around for 1,000 years. And she's not a Force user, but she is very knowledgeable about the history of the galaxy. I thought she was great, even though the CGI... See, that's one criticism that I will give the film, is that the motion capture for that character, it was good, but it looked out of place because of the fact that the whole movie uses real sets and real props and, real explosions. When you have a CGI thrown in there, it looks kind of weird, so your eyes are kind of like, eh. But I love that character, and I also got to give props to Andy Serkis as Snoke. Even though we didn't see too much of him, and it was kind of like, eh. Again, another CGI character. I thought that he also looked freaking scary, and he looked intimidating, and I want to know what he can do. But I love Poe. I'm pretty sure Poe, like Chris said, I think Poe will have a lot more to do in the next movie. But I loved the fact what he did in this movie. And but really, it was let's be real. This movie was all about Rey and Kylo. Like that's who the two people are. That's who the top baby face and the top heel are pretty much in this thing, as the way I see it.
Yeah, basically.
What you're saying about the CGI? The only other part of the movie I felt that about was like on the Millennium Falcon when the monsters got loose. That was
kinda
weird.
I agree.
Yeah, it was kind of a goofy monster, but it was a fun scene. The monster was a little goofy. As far as the CG though, as far as the battles with the TIE fighters and the other ships, I mean that was off the chart. So, but I do hear how you're saying. I just don't know how a realistic Maz puppet like the original Yoda would have played also. So it's kind of hard to judge.
Yeah.
You're taking a risk. You don't want it to look too puppety. But then at the same time, the CG, like you say, it kind of stands out. But I liked her character. I think there's a deleted scene where she actually uses the Force. I think that's what I read on one of the things. So not a Jedi, but she knows enough to get by, I guess.
Yeah, it's weird because in the trailer, in the second teaser, you see her hand the lightsaber over to Leia. JJ pretty much said in an interview that in the original, they had to do a lot of reshoots for this movie. They have tons of footage that may never even see the light of day because it's not really part of the story, but they might put it in the Blu-ray. But what happened was after the attack on her planet, she went back to the resistance base with everybody else, and she handed the lightsaber over to Leia. That was in the original script, and they actually shot the scene. But then what happened was According to what JJ said, what happened was he said that they, when the attack happened and Kylo left with Rey or whatever, he felt like the movie didn't really need to have Maz anymore because it would just take up kind of screen time, so they just cut all that stuff out, which, hey, I mean, I don't really blame him. It didn't hurt the movie or anything, but there's like 30 minutes of footage that they have for the Blu-ray, which is coming out April 5th. I'm really excited about to see what they cut out.
And a lot of the people who had, like, a list of what's on there, they're actually leaving out something that I know for a fact was filmed. And that's the one thing that I wish had not got cut from the movie, because when they did the scene where they captured Captain Plasma and they brought up the trash compactor, I was like, I got to see her fighting with that monster in the trash compactor and getting out. And I know for a fact that that was filmed but didn't make the final cut.
Well, there's the one that I heard about that I heard, and I only heard it from one guy, but he's a good Star Wars source. Remember that big fat guy, Unkar Plutt, the guy who was like two portions, who was like watching over Rey?
Yeah, like, he looked kind of goofy. He did look kind of.
Well, there's a scene that was supposedly shot, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I hope it is. I think it is true. There was a scene where he actually followed her to Maz Kanata's planet, and Chewbacca ripped his arms out of his socket, like picked him up and ripped his arms out of his socket, which is like a throwback to that one line in A New Hope, but that scene was cut. And I can kind of see why, because that's kind of really violent. I mean, even though it's PG-13, it's still like, that's a little violent for Star Wars, but then again, arms always get cut off in this series, so.
Yeah, like if the arms are cut off in the original, you know, the episode 4, they're in the cantina scene. When
yeah,
talk
about that
loose.
Guy who has the death sentence on 12 systems.
Yeah.
and then the abominable snowman, he got his arm cut off in the second one.
He was the only one that lost an appendage where you actually saw blood every other time somebody lost something. You didn't see blood or anything. Well, that's because lightsaber cauterized the wound, but, you know, still.
But it didn't in the first one, right?
Yeah. Another thing about the CGI was, can you go back and watch those prequels? And it's like 9 million things are happening in every scene. You guys notice that? Like, there's so much CGI. It's just like there's a million things happening in every scene. But in this one, there wasn't. I mean, it just didn't have that.
They kept it very simple, just like the very first Star Wars. Just very simple. Very simple, you know what I mean? It's almost a reboot of the first one in a lot of ways as far as the story and what they got to do. And it's, to me, it's like a tribute to the first one. Some people don't like it, but I thought it was pretty cool.
I didn't mind. I mean, I was at watch. I'm not a very critical person when it comes to stuff like this. I love Star Wars so much. And I just want to see Star Wars being Star Wars. And that's what I got. So that's all I needed, really.
The thing that irritates me about that whole it's too much like A New Hope thing, honestly, is that, first of all, you're comparing it to one of the best movies ever made, like, undoubtedly. Like, even people who don't even like Star Wars, who aren't even science fiction or fantasy fans, they know that's a classic movie, no matter what. You can't argue that. It's an undeniable truth. I don't like when people say, oh, well, it's too much like A New Hope. Well, again, you're comparing it to one of the best movies ever made. Like, I'm sure how many directors wish they could make a movie like that compared to Star Wars? I mean, really. But my argument is that, so they say that it's too similar, right? And there are some similarities, but first of all, it's the seventh movie in the franchise, so there's going to be similarities, similar characters, similar story. Second of all, if you look up something called the monomyth, basically, it's called the hero's journey, right? And it's not just Star Wars. We see it in every kind of fiction. We see it in wrestling. We saw it in Battlestar Galactica. We saw it in every single story ever, all right? The hero's journey. So when people say that Rey is too much like Luke, it's the hero's journey. But the difference is that they put enough differences in this film versus A New Hope that it's a different movie. Luke was nowhere close to being as badass as she was in this movie, and that's before the Kylo Ren thing. She fought those two guys off with the staff. Luke couldn't do that. I mean, that's more realistic, if anything. Also, another example is the Kylo Ren thing. They're, oh, he's like Darth Vader. Well, no, he's not. Darth Vader was always chill. He was always cool, and, you know, he would get mad, but he wasn't like, he didn't have temper tantrums like Kylo Ren did. Like, yeah. It just pisses me off when people say it's just like A New Hope, as if that's a bad thing. No, it's the purpose of this movie. The first line in this movie was Lor San Tekka saying, this will begin to make things right. Basically, this, and this is the truth, if you look and you do the research, right, about Disney, and even if you look at the George Lucas interview he did with on the Charlie Rose show, Disney said, we are making this movie for the fans, and what they really were saying, I don't care what anybody says, is this is an apology for the prequels. That's what this movie was. And if you, every single thing about it was an apology for the prequels.
Yeah. But,
now the character you were talking about, though it's, you know, there was, you know, where Rey was a scavenger and she would go and he would get the portions. Was this Simon Pegg playing that character?
Who?
Do you know? Simon Pegg from Star Trek.
I think he was. That plays
Scotty on Star Trek.
I think he was.
Because there were some cameos in here that nobody knew about. Like Daniel Craig was
Daniel
a stormtrooper. Yeah, he was a stormtrooper in the scene where Ray was force mind controlling the guy, the unlocker, and that
yeah.
was Daniel Craig, James Bond, that was him. So
yeah, that was pretty funny. Going into as far as like the returns, like they brought back, you know, Luke, Han, Chewie, Leia, and you know, of course, it's the basically except for Chewie. Chewie looks the same because I guess Wookiees live forever, or not forever, but a very long time. But Han, he looked a lot older, but he still looked, you know, really good. Leia, a lot older, and she aged like a normal person. And unfortunately, she's taking a lot of flack for just doing what every single person in the world is going to do, and it aged. And she didn't. She lived a rough life, and I guess she didn't, like a lot of other stars, do a lot of surgery to keep her looking young. But I thought she looked great for the part. I mean, you know, yeah, Leia was extremely hot back in the day, but she's not going to be hot now. It's freaking 30 years later. I thought
she
looked exactly the way she
should look.
Years
old?
I thought she looked exactly the way she should have looked. And also, like, as far as, like, appearances, like, her daughter was in the movie. She was one of the ones in, like, the war room kind of thing. And she had, like, the miniature buns on her head. But I thought, as far as, like, Han, I thought Han was just, like, there was no, like, let-up from Return of the Jedi. It was just, he was the same dude, and it was just awesome seeing Han Solo running around, even if he did have gray hair and was a few pounds heavier. I mean, it was just so awesome seeing, like, probably the best baby face. I mean, he was kind of a dick and an asshole, but, I mean, he was, like, the coolest hero, you know, back in the day, and he was just as fucking cool here.
Yeah, and Harrison Ford did a fantastic job, bro. Like, I thought he knocked it out of the park, and I love the fact that, like, Han Solo, because another criticism is that nobody changed, and I'm like, did you watch the movie? Like, did people really watch this movie and pay attention? Han Solo in the original trilogy was essentially like an atheist. He didn't believe in the Force. And because of the past 30 years of everything he's seen from his son and Luke, he's talking to, you know, Rey and Finn, and he's like, it's real, you know, all of it. Like, he's a believer now. Like, he's changed. Not to mention that the incredible amount of pain that Han Solo has been in for the past, you know, 10, 15 years, or whenever Kylo turned, I would say 10 years, rough estimate. I mean, he played the character where he's still Han, but you could tell that he just wanted to get away from life. Like, one of the themes about this movie, bro, is people running away from their problems. Like, Han Solo ran away. Leia ran away. She went back to being a general. You know, Luke ran away. We don't even know what happened there. There's a lot of unanswered questions. Kylo Ren, you know, he ran away from his family. Like, that's, like, one of the themes of the movie. And, you know, and then the Force kind of pulls them back together.
Yeah, he just ran away. He went back to, you know, just doing what he was doing in the original, just doing the smuggling thing. You know, it was kind of weird after all he'd been through that he'd go back to that. But still, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, because, like, it's weird, but it makes sense. Like, this dude's son, you know, became this cold-blooded killer, you know, and, like, I can't even, I mean, again, the whole story hasn't been told yet, but think about the pain. I mean, he had his wife, you know, and she doesn't even want to be around him anymore, and it's just, that does kind of make sense. Like, in real life, dude, if you've got, like, a son or, like, somebody, you know, like a family member who's doing wrong, especially if it's a son, people do that all the time. People, you know, they just go back to their old selves. That's where it's comfortable. I mean, it made sense to me. But I love the fact that he now knows for sure the Force is real. And also, I don't know if you want to get into this one, but when he was around Rey, I don't know if this is just him acting or me looking into it too much, but he knows who Rey is, bro. Like, there's a lot of, the whole mystery of Rey is I think, the big thing about this movie. And the thing that this movie has over A New Hope is that they know 100% they're going to make two more. So as a result of that, they were able to ask all these questions that aren't going to be answered until later, which is perfect, because now everybody's going to want to go and see the other two to see what happens. It was brilliant. Like, honestly, they couldn't have done a better job. I'm being dead serious. They couldn't have.
Yeah, he definitely knows. I mean, that's like when he gave her the blaster and he's offering her the job. I mean, when's he ever nice to anybody? You know what I mean? When he first meets them. So there's something going on. You know, like I say, there's still a chance that it's his daughter or someone very, very close. It's someone very close to him and Leia, because Leia, you know, she went to her before she went to Chewie. You know what I mean?
She hugged her.
And so she must, like, thinking is like, you know what I mean? She must, like, even though you don't know, you're, like, it's kind of like your father died or something like that. I mean, there's some major connection, and it's very obvious. And it, you know, like I say, how it adds to the movie, I totally agree with that.
I mean, I've seen it five times. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say the thing with Rey, you know, Han offered her the job. That kind of like with the thing, same thing he did with Luke right before the Battle of Yavin when he was trying to get the hell out of there. You know, he said, come with us. You know, pretty good to follow.
Yeah, we could use a guy like you.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, one thing I will say, right, and again, I've seen the movie five times, bro. I'm obsessed with this damn movie, is one thing I noticed about this movie, you got to pick up on this. You can't pick up on it the first time because you just can't. Every time, and when next time you see the movie, like, check this out. Every time they were going to talk about her, they always cut away. Every single time. The first time is when the guy tells Kylo that, you know, a girl helped him after he got pissed off and he smashed the computers with his lights, which I thought was awesome. He turns around, he grabs the guy by the throat, he goes, "What girl?" Cuts off. Next scene is when Han Solo's talking to Maz Kanata, he goes, "So Han, who's the girl?" Cuts away. Every single time we're about to get an answer about who she is, it cuts away. They purposely did it that way, bro. When they put this movie together, dude, they knew exactly what they were doing. That's purposely. People in that universe know who she is, and she might not know who she is, even though I think that during the film, she's starting to figure out who she is, especially when Kylo tries to go inside of her mind, and she freaking reversed it on him, which I thought was a great scene, too.
Yeah, and speaking of Kylo Ren, like, it's funny because, like, when the movie starts, it's like they're trying to portray him as, like, Darth Vader, like, chill, just, like, calm, cool, collected. And then as the movie goes on, you find out that that's not the case, that this dude is totally on the edge. And, like, the scene where he fucking destroys everything with his lightsaber, and he's way, way more emotional than a Jedi or a Sith would be. Because I think Siths are even more calm than Jedi as far as, like, stuff like that. But he's not like that. So it's obvious that he's had very little training. Like, he's had some training or enough to, like, get by. But he's nowhere near. He's basically above Luke, maybe in Empire, in my opinion. With, like, a lot of ways to go. And going back to, like, the fight scene, like, a lot of people are like, how did he get his ass kicked? It's like, first off, he got shot and was bleeding through his fucking side, and, you know.
With a crossbow.
And then he, like, took a blow when he was fighting Finn, and then, like, people are like, well, how did she she beat him. Like, she had no training. Well, she was using it. She beat the shit out of three dudes, including Finn, in the beginning of the movie.
She had
that training
with weapon, you know.
Yeah, she can handle herself. It's not like she's a professional fencer, but she knows what's going on. And it wasn't like she totally kicked his ass. I mean, it took a while. I really liked the Kylo Ren character. Because they didn't make him Darth Vader. He's not Darth Vader. You know what I mean?
He's a mark for Vader. That was the whole joke.
He's a mark for Vader. He wants to be Vader, but he's not close to Vader. And that's what's killing him. Like, I'm really tearing apart is because he knows he's not Darth Vader, even though he's trying so hard. And I just really, really loved that character. I thought there was so much, because there really wasn't anything to Darth Vader in the first three movies. I mean, you never really got to know Darth Vader at all. Whereas this time, you're getting to see this guy and you're seeing how non-perfect he is and just how, you know, how fucked up he actually is. And I thought it was great. Like I say, when I found out it was JP, it blew my mind because it's like JP, but it's not JP.
Adam Driver always plays those guys, man.
Yeah. Katrina, your thoughts on Kylo Ren, the character?
Yeah, I like how the First Order had the differences in the First Order than just from your regular Empire. You know, he had this young guy. You know, people always talk about, like, the stereotypical, you know, oh, he's got a mask, his face is fucked up or something. But no, he's just a regular dude in there. And I like that they had a woman stormtrooper that was, like, in a leadership position. I thought that was pretty neat. With
Captain
Phasma.
Yeah, I think she's going to be a big deal in the next one. Because I'm thinking the way they're booking it, right? Because these guys, they know what they're doing, bro. The way they're booking their card is they're doing Snoke versus Luke. Not like in a fight, but I mean like the feud. Rey versus Kylo, Finn versus Phasma, and then Hux versus Poe. Because Poe did blow up Starkiller Base, and that was Hux's baby. So I think if the next one is like Empire, I think that those four people are going to be hunting down the other four people. That's the way I see it, and I think that makes the most sense.
Yeah, it was just like Poe didn't had a little bit more time than Captain Phasma, but, you know, there's two more movies to go, so. No, it's not that big of a deal. It didn't have this big thing in the first movie, so.
Yeah, J.J. pretty much, it's like Boba Fett. J.J. pretty much said that when they originally wrote that character, it was supposed to be a dude, and then when Gwendolyn Christie from Game of Thrones actually signed on, they were like, oh, shit, you know, we got to give her some more stuff to do. But they didn't have time in this movie. But Kathleen Kennedy pretty much said that she's going to have a huge role in the next one. And I'm pretty sure, dude, I'm just guessing that they're going to try to hunt down Finn because she's not only pissed at him for betraying her group, but she's pissed at him for putting her in the trash compactor. So she's going to have, you know, I think they're going to pull out a heat on her. I really do.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, we're getting another call here, so let me, I'm going to go ahead and draw them on. Caller calling from area code 213. Who's this?
Yeah, I want to talk about what would happen if Magnum T.A. wouldn't have gotten a car wreck. Would he have been the world champion?
Jesus
Christ. You can call back next week and ask that question if you want.
I'm joking. Hey, this is Draven. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, man? What's happening? Didn't recognize your voice.
didn't Dusty cut Magnum's brakes because he was more over than he was?
I want to talk about the Star Wars movie. I was waiting for the Enterprise to come out for 2 hours, and it never did.
You were waiting for them to get trapped on an island somewhere.
So what's going on? Where are you guys at? Who's I noticed Big D was on the line when I was waiting for you to put me on. So that's pretty
if
cool.
If it's Star Wars, I'm there, bro.
Where are you guys at?
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty good.
I'm saying as far as the movie, Jesus, I mean, what are you talking about?
We were talking about our thoughts on Kylo Ren as a character.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know if anybody else had an opinion. I mean, I have mine, but did I interrupt
you? Go ahead and share it with us.
I mean, I thought he was as a villain, I thought he was great. I didn't really like that he got his ass whooped in his first official fight. But other than that, I mean, the character is very well layered. You know, he's a three-dimensional character. He wasn't a clone of Vader, which I think I caught one of you guys talking about that while I was on hold. And you know, he's a great villain to kind of just carry the series. I mean, I imagine there's going to be a babyface turn with him later on. I mean, Big D, wouldn't you say so?
I don't think so. I thought that originally, like, okay, it's possible, right? But I thought that the gimmick, right, was that, okay, I'll just say this real quick. Like, Adam Driver said before the movie came out that the lightsaber represents his character. So it's a cross. Like, he's at a crossroads in his life. Because remember, there's a lot of symbolism in this movie. There's tons of symbolism in this movie. And I know you and I, Draven, talked about this on Facebook, about how it's classic, like, movie-making techniques that J.J. had done with the lighting and everything. And I think that's a good thing. I like him going back to basics. But I think that the whole movie, he's basically like a tweener, and he's fighting the light. It's like the reverse of, like, you know, like Luke. Like, Luke was fighting the darkness in Jedi. Here, Kylo's fighting the light. And when he killed his old man, that's why, like, when he's talking to his old man, he's like, I need you to help me do something, and I don't know if I can do it. And Han was like, yeah, sure. And Han's thinking, okay, turn me to the light side. And what he needed help with was he realized, if I kill my old man, I am 100% dark side. So I think, even though I originally did see a babyface turn coming in Episode 9, I think that was him sealing the deal as far as going to the dark side. And I don't think they would have put that much heat on him to kill the most popular Star Wars character ever.
Yeah.
You know, that's the tricky part. If they turn him baby, it's going to have to be like, I don't even know. It's going to have to be something
It'll probably be like right before his death. Like, they've done that in the past, you know, other stories, you know, where they have that much heat on the heel, and then right before, you know, the whole redemption thing, you know, he redeems himself through his own death, and kind of like what Anakin did, actually, now that I think about it, and so that's, if they are going to turn on babyface, that's how I see it. But for him to actually be, like, let's say in Episode 9, you know, flying around the Millennium Falcon for, like, the last half of the movie, that would be kind of ridiculous, I think. So I don't think they're going to go that route, but, I feel they could turn him right before he dies, and his last act would be heroic. But as far as a full baby face turn, I don't think so.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It's hard to get over him killing Han Solo.
I think that there, you know, there's so many similarities that one of the similarities that they're going to do is that they're going to build to the baby face turn like they did with Darth Vader. You know, they slowly built to his baby face turn, because you knew it was coming at the end of Jedi. So I think they're going to build to his babyface turn, but it doesn't happen. It's a swerve. And climax of the movie. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing with this movie, yeah.
Yeah. I think he's always going to be on the edge. He's always going to be on the edge, but he's just never going to come through.
Yeah, he's going to be like John Cena, always walking that razor's edge with a babyface and heel. I had to get that in there. But no. The thing is, have you guys talked about the whole thing with Rey as far as, because that's the thing that, I mean, I love this film. I thought this was one of my favorite movies of the year, but the whole thing at the end where she just kind of like just became all powerful like that, like, I understand why they did it, but as far as they, you know, trying to tell a story in a movie, it came off kind of weird. And have you guys talked about that? Just out of nowhere, just out of a sudden, we just got this unexpected turn from that character.
Well, it kind of comes through off the title of the movie, The Force Awakens, and Snook and Kylo, they talk about feeling like an awakening. So it's like something triggered. The way they're explaining is something just triggered, and her force powers came out or whatever. I mean, you know, I can kind of say, you know, she kind of became a little too powerful, but it's just like she was never exposed to it or never knew she had it in her until that point, and then she's just kind of mimicking Kylo and just kind of, you know, it's very obvious that she's stronger than him. I mean, to me, that's what they made a point to prove, that she's more force, she's got more force than Kylo, and so that's why I think they kind of did that. And like I say, it's in the movie, The Force Awakening, so it's like it just, you know, it awoken up in her, you know what I mean?
But even like when she had no training though, like she had no training to do the thing. Like even if she was stronger than Kylo, Kylo had some training, not all the training, but some training. She had no training, so it's almost kind of, in a weird way, it's kind of contradicting what the original trilogy told us about how Luke had to kind of, because Luke was really strong with the Force in the original trilogy, and yet he had to go through all that training with Yoda, and, you know, even then he had a lot of confusion within him, you know, and here's Rey, like, all of a sudden she just, within like a couple, you know, that interrogation scene, all of a sudden she goes from like regular person to like Jedi Master, and I don't know that, I mean... That's nitpicking. I mean, this is still pretty film, but that one did bother me a lot. I think it just comes down to a little bit of lazy writing right there. I understand we still don't know her history. You know, more things are going to come up, but that's still no excuse for that turn to come so abrupt like that.
I'm just going to add something you're saying real quick. That initially could have been. That's a big thing about a lot of people criticizing this film. But here's the thing about Rey's character, is it's to me. I had to watch it a second time. The whole Mary Sue thing. She is obviously special. And if you read the novelization or if you hear the audiobook, there's actually even more evidence of this. She, as far as her not having any training, there's a very good chance that she did have training and that she doesn't remember. One of Draven's favorite filmmakers is Alex Proyas, and he did a movie once called Dark City. And
right.
When I'm watching this film, and I'm seeing the scene, and a lot of people haven't seen Dark City, but if you haven't, go check it out. There's a scene where she touches the lightsaber, and she has a flashback. Now, I have analyzed this scene, and so has the rest of the nerds. We've analyzed this scene about 100 times, right, where you hear Yoda's voice and Obi-Wan's voice. The lightsaber's calling out to her and all this. And then you see that weird shot of like, the ship leaving the planet, and she's 10 years old again, screaming, you know, don't leave, don't leave. And we never, ever see a single shot of her family, ever. I think, again, I've talked about this before, but now I'm saying it here, I think that she is way more powerful than people know, and that she had her memory erased. I think part of her memory was erased, and I think in the next film, I don't know if it's going to be the Force or what, her memory is going to come back, because not only there's just too much evidence there. There's too much evidence to support that. But also, even if her memory wasn't erased, if you watch that last fight, it's true. Not only was Kylo hurt, and not only was she experienced enough to take care of herself, but the lightsaber fight itself was very, very amateurish. You could tell that neither one of these two had that much training. It wasn't like Ray Park doing, you know, indie spots at the end of The Phantom Menace. It wasn't like, you know, CGI Christopher Lee flipping around with a CGI Yoda. They were doing.
Hey, Ray
like,
Park
they were
was
swinging.
Awesome with the indie spots. I love those spots.
Well, Ray Park is awesome, bro. Nobody can ever take anything away from him. But the point is that that fight was very rugged, and it was very, like, I guess, like, I don't know, just not, like, fine-tuned. So you could tell they're both kind of inexperienced. And I think that helped the fight seem more authentic. You know what I mean? So as far as her being, like, too strong, I mean, even Kylo has a line in the movie where he says, he knows who she is, bro. He knows who she is because when she escapes, he has a line where he says, find her. Her powers are getting stronger. The more time that goes by, the stronger she becomes. It's almost as if her Force power was being repressed. And, Draven, you know a lot about people repressing emotions. And they're slowly coming out as the film progresses. And at the end, when he said the Force, is when she got, like, almost everything back. So there's a lot of evidence. The biggest one to me, right, is in the novel, when Kylo goes for the lightsaber and it flies by his face and she grabs it, there's a line that was cut from the movie, probably purposely because they want you to wonder, because these guys know what they're doing, where he looks at her and he goes, so it is you. There's no way that she's not somebody special with that line, and that's in the book. So that they're doing this on purpose, man. They want you to come back for 8 to see who she really is.
The fight scene kind of looks amateurish. Kylo doesn't even have a real lightsaber. I mean, his lightsaber
is
cracked. That's why it's shooting out the side. You know what I mean?
Well, they gotta sell toys, brother. They gotta sell toys. I mean, I got my toy of it. Now, you know, one of the lines that popped me, it really popped me big, was when Kylo senses Han in the what was the name of that base, Danny?
Starkiller base?
Their planet machine, whatever it's called. What
Starkiller base, yeah, when he goes Han Solo.
Oh, man, I popped because that was a throwback right there. That was a beautiful throwback right there to a Vader sensing Obi-Wan. I loved it.
That's true. I didn't even pick up on that.
I loved it. Everything was framed exactly to when Vader senses Obi-Wan, and he says the exact same line except it's Obi-Wan instead of Han.
Yeah, that was
now, did everybody know, I mean, I'm sure everybody knew, but in the scene when you saw Han going out on that bridge, you knew he was going to die right then, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. 150 years of movie watching would tell you that. I mean, he was done for.
And not just that, but the way, and I was talking to Draven about this, the way they shot it, right, where it was dark, because remember, the Starkiller base was sucking the energy from the sun. The way it was, like, getting darker and darker, right, and then finally, boom, it's dark. It's totally dark. He stabs him. You see the lightsaber come out of his back, and then, bro, what great symbolism, bro. I'm popping right now thinking about it. Then Han Solo touches his son's face and falls off the bridge into the light. He fell into the light, bro. Like, he might have been a scoundrel, but at the end of his life, bro, he was a good person who wanted to redeem his son. Man, they fucking knew what they were doing, bro. I don't care if it's an old technique, bro.
So are you telling me that if Paula Vegas does that to Vince McMahon, they'll put 100,000 people in Dallas?
If he falls into the light? I'm afraid of Vince falling anywhere, bro. Now, let me ask you a question, Draven. Honestly, like,
Vince McMahon would fall into the light. Vince McMahon would be Han, and Paula Vegas would be Kylo Ren.
Well, did you think that Father Marin got gypped in this movie? Because he only had like 6 lines, but he was fantastic.
Yeah, no, I loved it. I popped when I saw him because I'm a huge mark for that actor. So, he did kind of get jobbed, but that's what it was called for. They just brought up an old geezer just to give him that little part, and it was great.
He was awesome, bro. I love the I'm just going to say real quick, I love the interaction with him and Kyle at the beginning of the movie where he's like, he basically was like, you will turn over the map to Skywalker. And then he's like, he says some shit like, to the First Order. And then he goes, the First Order arose from the dark side. You did not. And then he's like, I'll show you the dark side. And then Max von Sydow was like, you will try, but you cannot escape the fact of who you are and your family. And then Kylo Ren goes, you're so right, and then kills him. And it took me a second to realize what he was doing. The reason why he said, you're so right, is because Max von Sydow was telling him, you're Princess Leia's son, and then Kylo Ren is like, you're so right, I'm Darth Vader's grandson. It took me 2 times to pick up on that, bro. And he killed him like Vader would have.
Well, hold on, I got to ask a question. Who the hell was Max von Sydow's character anyway? Because... like I said, at the very opening of the show, I was hoping it was Wedge.
No, I thought it was Wedge, too. His name is Lor Van Tekka. So what happened was, at some point in the old trilogy, this is all like in the books and shit, he started a religion called the Church of the Jedi, and that's why him and Leia have like similar rings. So they're gonna expand upon this in the comics, but basically he's like a really close friend of Luke Skywalker, right? And I think that Luke left him there to watch over Rey. That's my guess. I guess we'll find out next one. But he's basically a friend of like the Skywalkers, like Luke and Leia, and he's part of that Church of the Force religion or whatever. That's who he is.
Okay. So,
that's your answer.
Going back
he's
to
not
the,
Wedge. I wish he was Wedge.
To the Han Solo scene real quick, the thing that got me, it wasn't so much like when he impaled Han, but when Chewie cried out, just was like almost broke me right there.
Yeah, that was a very powerful scene. I thought Chewie did a great, I mean, the actor. Who's that 7-footer that plays him? He's in all the conventions.
Peter Mayhew.
But he's retiring now.
But just his ability to emote under that fucking suit he has, you know, that was a great scene. And you know, I love how he had that shot at Kylo. You know, he's the one that really injured him. And for a minute, and I do love how JJ kind of fucked with me personally because, you know, if you're a cinephile, you know all the cues, bro. You know all the cues and they come. And I have told you this, you know, a year ago. I told you Kylo's not going to get out of this movie alive. And he followed everything to a T. Everything. once Chewie shot him, I'm like, this guy's done. And, you know, even towards the end, I was sure he was going to die, but he doesn't die, you know, he doesn't die. So that was a nice little, you know, switcheroo he did on people that understand that kind of storytelling. And so that was cool. But, yeah, man, I enjoy the film a lot. I've seen it like 3 times, and it just gets good every time I see it. It's not perfect by any means, but it's still a great film. And whatever imperfections it does have, it's not going to take away from the experience that it is.
I like how there were a couple of spots in the movie to put over the bowcaster, so it made it like even a bigger deal when he shot Kylo Ren with it.
Exactly.
About the bowcaster in previous films, and Han just like first time Han never noticed the bowcaster and how powerful it was.
Bro, this movie was booked like a New Japan main event, bro. Because of that shit right there, bro.
Ben Meltzer would love it.
Oh, I'm sure he's already seen it and loved it, bro. Early, the first act of the film, he goes and he probes Poe Dameron's brain, and he gets the information about BBA, right? Later on in the film, he goes to probe Rey, and she flips it on him. Same thing with a New Japan main event. Kanahashi will go for the high fly flow. He'll miss it, but then he'll hit it the first time, and somebody will miraculously kick out, but then the second time, the guy will have a reversal for it. That was done over and over again in this movie. You see Finn fighting that stormtrooper, and he loses, kind of, because Han saves his ass. And then when he fights Kylo Ren, it's like, wait a minute, you don't have a chance. And when you rewatch that fight, bro, Kylo pretty much toyed with him the entire fight. But I like how they did that. Like, I like how they did stuff at the beginning of the movie that played into the end of the movie.
Kind of swerved us with thinking that he was going to be the Jedi instead of Rey, because you saw him with the lightsaber. I like that. Because he just had a lightsaber because he just needed a weapon, not because he
was a Force user. Well, he might be a Jedi by the end of the trilogy.
Maybe.
Now, I need
more than one, really. One, like, you know, whatever.
No, I was going to say, you know, J.J. Abrams is such a fucking film nerd. This is a guy that about 4 years ago, he was at a horror convention here in L.A. called Monster Palooza, just kind of wandering around. Nobody knew he can't do that anymore, obviously, because he blew up so big now. And you see all the little fucking tributes.
The film tributes?
The way I saw Finn, now, I don't know if you guys seen, you know, Jack Burton from Big Trouble in Little China, the great Kurt Russell. Finn was essentially Jack Burton, including taking actual film cues from Big Trouble in Little China and implementing them into The Force Awakens. Now, Jack Burton, for the people that have never seen Big Trouble in Little China, you should go out of your way to see it because it's a classic film. But essentially, Jack Burton walks around thinking he's the hero of the movie. In his world, he's the hero, except everybody around him keeps on saving his ass. And for whatever reason, he's always in the situation where he's there at the end with all the bad guys laid out around him, and it gives him the impression that he saved everybody's ass. You know, it's a great film, and there's a lot of that in Finn. Finn's walking around the entire movie. First of all, he has the same expression, which is he's scared shitless or confused. Those are the only two expressions he has throughout the entire movie, which is great. He's running around. Somehow he's the hero of the movie, but yet he keeps getting his ass handed to him constantly, which is great as well. So I thought that was a very well-written character. I didn't really like the turn in the beginning because it didn't make no sense, but, you know, fuck it, it is what it is. And you know, other than that, that was also another one of my favorite characters in this movie.
Well, it's not just that, but also with
I like
with
how,
JJ.
Like, on all the previews and all the spots, it really, like you say, it looked like they were building to him being the main hero, and Rey was going to be his helper. And then when you get to the movie, it's the exact opposite. You know what I mean? I thought that was cool. I love the trailers because they didn't give you anything, really. They got you excited, but they didn't give you anything in the movie, really, as far as, like, it's from, like, to me, I never knew exactly what was going to happen at all during the movie. I just knew it was going to be badass, and I thought they did a good job with the build-up to the movie.
Yeah, I was surprised how much Poe Dameron disappeared. Like, I didn't have a problem with it, you know, but I was surprised how he's there in the beginning and he's there in the end, but he's kind of gone in the middle of it, which was kind of weird. But you know, that's what the story calls for.
Yeah, but that shot where he's taking out all the TIE fighters, it was a shot that he shot it from the ground up where Finn's watching him, and you see him fly in and take out, like, 15 TIE fighters in a row, bro. That was such great, like, the way J.J. did this movie, bro, I just love him as a director in this movie, because the way he did that scene, like, it was all in one take, that was great. And then you talked about all the references to other movies, like the Apocalypse Now scene, of course, everybody
talks
about that one.
Oh, that's a great shot. That's a beautiful shot right there. I love that shot. Yeah.
And then the Seven Samurai one, where they showed the Knights of Ren. There's that one. The Knights of the Lords of Arabia one, where he had the knife to her throat. What was the movie? Okay, there's that scene where Kylo is carrying Rey onto the ship, and then that's when Finn screams Rey or whatever. What movie did he steal that from, where the heel is carrying the princess away? Like, there's a movie I saw where that happened, and I can't remember which one. And it was just like that.
I don't know. I would have to watch it again. I don't remember that scene. But there's a lot of them.
Yeah, it sounds like a scene from a lot of movies, honestly.
Now, my question to you guys... Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Draven.
Oh, I was going to say, my question to you guys, because this episode 7 had a lot of things going for it. First of all, it had the historical characters. One of the important things that it had that this next one won't have. Well, two things. First of all,
scarcity.
It's not gonna have, it's not gonna have J.J. Abrams, which is the key. And although Rian Johnson is also a very, very good filmmaker, but in a whole different way. But it's not gonna have Han Solo. Now, this film is Han Solo's movie, I think. Like, I think he carries the emotional impact of it. He carries the story's guided.
He made the villain.
And so that's not, you know, the next movie's not going to have the luxury of having him involved, unless they do a flashback or whatever, which they might. But in general, it's not going to be his movie, and I'm wondering how it's going to all rely on Luke's charisma. And Mark Hamill's no fucking Harrison Ford, let's be real about it. Nor should he be, because it's a different kind of character. But I'm wondering.
Yeah, well, I just saw him as Cockknocker, bro, and he's pretty charismatic.
Yeah, so I'm wondering how they're going to kind of get through that, because Harrison Ford did help this movie a lot.
Well, I think they built Rey enough to carry it, and also by keeping Luke off, it helped, because, you know what I mean? It's not like
because
Han
if Luke was there,
Luke,
everybody'd be talking about Luke.
Yeah, Luke wasn't overshadowed by Han in this movie. So now, you know, you focus on Han, now you can focus on Luke. Luke's not going to be overshadowed, and it kind of like it builds to now, like, okay, well, we got our Han, now we get our Luke. So I think it's not going to be. I mean, yeah, it'd be awesome to have Han Solo in every movie, but I think they built it in a way where they're going to be all right.
Maybe they're going to be all right where like the Poe character gets more screen time to kind of like replace Han Solo, because he kind of Han Solo like his character was.
He is, yeah, and that's the thing. I think that they've built up enough unanswered questions, and the beautiful thing about this movie is it had a cliffhanger on a cliff, which I thought was great. It has a cliffhanger ending, and I think they've done enough with this movie to build up to the next one. The next one will do very, very well. I really think so.
I wonder how far it's going to jump ahead, or if it's going to like start off from where it ended, like the next film.
Me too, because I'm... want to know the conversation that Luke and Rey had, bro. Because another thing that the nerds have been doing, including me, is they've been analyzing Luke's face when he turned around and sees her. And there's a lot of speculation about, is he reacting to the lightsaber or is he reacting to her? I'm telling you right now, bro, Rey is Luke Skywalker's daughter. I assure you of that. I'm very confident that's the case.
I also feel like he already knows everything that happened. Like, I feel like when they finally found him in that cliff, he wanted to be found because it was time for him to come home and, you know, start setting things right. Like, I feel like he knows that Han's dead, you know, and all that stuff. Because, you know, just from you know, Mark Hamill's 2 seconds of screen time, I think I read all that in his face.
Yeah, exactly. And I think what happened was... Snoke, okay, in the novel, they talk about that basically Snoke was seducing Kylo Ren since he was a little boy. And there's a lot of speculation about Snoke, a lot of speculation. There's a lot of clues. There's tons of clues.
including child molestation, according to you right now.
No, that's not what I meant, but he is eating at Subway. No, but
it's Jar Jar.
There's a lot of
didn't y'all see that thing about how it's Jar Jar is a Sith and they had all the reasons why? It's Jar Jar, dude. He just kind of got a face implant.
I saw it. It's wacky. But, no, I was just going to say there's a lot of clues about Snoke, right, and who he really is. And the books, the new books now are really giving away a lot of details about Palpatine's, like, secret, like, alternate plans. And there's a lot of shit. But anyways, I'm not going to get into that right now. All I was going to say was I think what happened was Snoke seduced Kylo. Kylo betrayed Luke, killed all of his students. And when he killed the students, Luke was not there. Because there's no way Kylo would have the balls to fucking kill his students with Luke there, because Luke would have fucking not let it happen, right? So Luke gets back there. He sees all his students dead. He knows his daughter's Force-sensitive, probably takes her to Jakku, drops her off there, and wipes her memory. That's what I think happened. That's going to be the big twist. That's my prediction, not a spoiler, my prediction. Because there's other theories, too. But there's another theory that Kylo dropped her off there. Way back to protect her. And because there's extra scenes in the book where Snoke asks him, he goes, "You have sentiments towards her." And Kylo's like, I don't feel anything. And then Snoke is like, "You're lying. You feel something for her." So there's a connection between those two, bro. There's just a lot of unanswered questions, which is very smart. If you know you're going to do a trilogy, you can't give everything away in episode one, just like with Lost, which is J.J. Abrams' other thing. He didn't give away the entire thing in the first episode. So it's smart, I think.
Yeah, they left more unanswered questions than answers they gave.
The only problem with that is what Ed's saying is that with Lost, they had so many unanswered questions that they didn't have time to answer all of them, and that was a big issue there.
What?
I love the final shot. The final shot when they're on the cliff was like a beautiful fucking shot at the end of the movie.
I was waiting for her to yell Drago, but we didn't get it.
One thing I wanted to talk about is something you mentioned briefly earlier, and you made the Mary Sue comment, and I actually had never even heard of the Mary Sue argument until this movie, and I want to talk about that because it is a lot of like chauvinist that's like involved in people being upset with her character being so kick-ass, but what's the difference between her character being all kick-ass all of a sudden and Bruce Willis in fucking the first Die Hard? You know what I mean?
Yeah, or
all
these
fucking terrorists. It's like the dude is just, all of a sudden he can do all this shit. You know what I mean? It's just all you're doing is replacing a guy with a girl, and just because it's the girl doesn't make it any less plausible than the fucking guy being able to fucking kill 100 dudes and evade a fucking 100 deaths. And so it's the same thing. It's just, why is there a gender bias?
Well, don't tell Bret Hart that, because he won't be too happy to hear it.
Yeah. But why is there such a backlash about that when just because it's a girl? I mean, it's like, you know what I mean?
Well, remember, Ed, there was also a backlash over a black stormtrooper.
Yeah. Well, that was minor compared to the Mary Sue thing, because the Mary Sue thing, I've seen so many fucking articles about, and it's like, what's the difference? Like I say, what's the difference between her kicking ass and Bruce Willis kicking ass in Die Hard?
I mean, let me tell you, bro, I agree with you. It's very, very sexist, dude. It's very sexist. They knew what they were doing, bro. They come on, man. And they have enough male kick-ass characters in Star Wars. Because the thing about this movie is they had four female, like, strong characters. They had Phasma, they had Kanata, they had her, and they had Leia. So, I mean, it's just, and they're going to add another girl to episode 8, or so I hear. They're casting for one. So, who knows?
Your thoughts on that, Draven? You're a big, movie buff or whatever. What's your thoughts on the backlash on her being the hero compared to, like I say, like, to me, it's the best example is Bruce Willis and Die Hard.
Well, I mean, as somebody who watches a lot of movies, I mean, there's a lot of female, heroes out there already. You know, we have Ripley, we have
Mad Max,
Sarah Connor, there's nothing new to me. I mean, I've accepted, it's cool, I'm cool with it, It's just, like you said, it's very ignorant people that think that, I don't know what they think, to be honest with you, because it is just a movie, but even within the frame of the universe that Star Wars is, you know, if a woman has the Force in her, I mean, she's going to be strong no matter what. So it has nothing to do with, like, you know, traditional gender roles of man and woman. You know, it's just very ignorant. I don't get it.
It's funny because George Lucas was pretty much a genius when he came up with the Force, because when you have something like the Force, it's essentially an answer to any kind of plot issue you may have. Like, anything that happens that's out of the ordinary or doesn't make much sense, you could easily just answer it as the Force. So it's like a storytelling crutch, so to speak. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but if you're a writer and you're writing for Star Wars, you do have that crutch to say, oh, well, she's strong because of the Force. It has nothing to do with her being a 90-pound girl against 130 or maybe even less than that, because I mean, he's I don't know if he's Conor McGregor, but he's not a very big guy.
Yeah, he's JT.
I think he has the Force.
It's
Conor McGregor
or
had the
Marvel
Force a month ago.
Yeah, Conor McGregor does have the Force because he's convinced Dave Meltzer that he's a better promo than The Rock. So
yeah,
there you go. He's already,
he went inside Dave's head. No, what happened was he went inside of Dave's head so he can find the map. Where you can find the tapes of Dave telling Vince how to screw Brett over. There's a map to that somewhere.
we've actually been on our extra time, so I want to, Katrina, do you have any topics you want to hit or things you want to talk about before we start to wrap up?
I think somebody we didn't talk about, but somebody who I think kind of stole the show and the whole thing was BB-8. I love that fucking droid. I thought he was all. I actually thought he outdid R2 and C-3PO throughout all the other movies in this one. I don't know what you.
Well,
got
he
by.
Was he had the biggest. To me, he got the two biggest laughs when he started shocking Finn after Rey kicked his ass. That was fucking hilarious. And then when Finn gave him the thumbs up and he sticks his arm
yeah,
out
that was
and he uses the lighter to do the thumbs up, I lost my shit. So BB-8 is awesome. I actually kind of thought that he looked goofy when I saw the first views and just was like, he ain't going to be no fucking R2. But, yeah, they did a good job with BB-8. I mean, yeah, he was awesome.
Yeah, and I also like the fact that, like, much like the original trilogy, how George kind of, like, and George has said this in the past, like, it's really R2-D2's story, and we're just following him along in his adventure with all these crazy characters. And that is true when you think about it, because that's really who we follow along. And that's the same thing with this new droid, BB-8. It's like we're following along this droid who happened to get involved with all these wacky new characters. And I love how they did that as well, and you know, how they wrote him and some of the comic relief he had. That was pretty cool. I enjoyed that character.
And that's the thing about that, too, is people want to say this movie's too much like A New Hope. Well, George got that idea from The Hidden Fortress. So it's like everything copies everything. So chill out, really.
Yeah.
I can see like the criticism of like the, it's kind of like a cliche thing like with the Starkiller base. You know, you got the killer planet, the Death Star, which we've had to, like, what, three times? Really?
I agree with that, yeah.
I mean, you had in episode one, you know, they had the Trade Federation base that they were trying to get in and destroy in the Battle of Naboo. Then you had episode four, you had the Death Star, and then episode six, you had the Death Star. So I kind of see that. I actually wish they would have gone, like, with something different, like with, like, the World Devastators from the Expanded Universe instead, which I thought would have been cool, but... But I wasn't that down on it. It was the same as the other movies, but I wasn't that bothered by it.
I just want to say one quick thing, too. I don't know if y'all want to talk about this, but that scene where Starkiller Base, first of all, our boy Huxler, you know, General Huxler, Adolf Huxler with his little speech, but the scene where Starkiller Base blew up those planets, a lot of people thought that was Coruscant. That was actually not Coruscant. He blew up the Hosnian system, including Hosnian Prime. Now, for those who don't know, and a lot of folks don't know, Hosnian Prime is the new base of the Senate. What they did when they shot and they destroyed those planets is they broke the peace treaty, because there was a peace treaty signed after Jedi between the Empire and the Imperial Remnant and the Republic that there would be no more war. Once they destroyed those five planets, now it's almost as if there's an all-out war. So I'm just curious about how in Episode 8, if the Republic's actually going to be going to war now with the First Order, or if it's going to end up being the Resistance still, because the First Order doesn't have as many, like, the Starkiller base is gone, but also the Republic's home base is gone. So I feel like the armies have both been crippled. I'm just kind of curious about where that's going to go, because that was a big changing. That set off the entire trilogy now, bro, because they just declared war on the entire galaxy pretty much.
That's cool, because I figured it was Coruscant that they blew up.
A lot of people thought that. Yeah, it's basically the new Coruscant. That's where, because they explain that the Senate moves from planet to planet every few years. So it's like the same thing, but Coruscant, the original planet, still exists.
Okay.
And that was our general. Did you guys talk about General Hux? Because I thought he could have. I mean, he didn't have a lot to work with, but what he did have, I thought Domhnall Gleeson did a pretty good job, you know?
He was mad the entire movie.
Yeah, and also, you were talking about how it was kind of like New Hope. They used the same beats of New Hope, but I don't think it's kind. The first act kind of is, but, like, you know, there is a lot of differences. Like General Hux is a good example. Like, I love how he doesn't back down to anybody, including fucking Kylo Ren. You know, I mean, he does back down to Snoke. That's everybody backs down to Snoke, and so that's one of the things that impressed me about that character. How he has balls. You know what I'm saying?
It was kind of like the Grand Moff Tarkin in Episode 4. You know.
That's pretty much it. I was waiting for him to blow up and be fought, like Grand Moff Tarkin there in Episode 4. He just kind of staring off into space, and then boom, it just blows up. But this guy, I thought, had a little more balls, and, you know, just fucking, he owned it, man. It was his army. It was his stormtroopers. You know, they even had that throwaway line where he was the one that eliminated or got rid of the clone, you know, program or whatever for his program. So, I thought that was a very good character as well, you know?
Yeah, he convinced Snoke that he was going to train his own guys rather than go with clones to find them when they were kids. And that's how Finn got, you know, how he became FN-2187.
But even
yeah, they didn't
you
actually have,
lines
it
like
was
that,
weird, they didn't actually have names. I thought that was pretty neat. And they took them from, they took them pretty much from birth to,
Well, Captain Plasma had a name.
Right. Huh?
Captain Plasma had a name.
Well, I think she was there before, like, that army started, I think. But I don't know for sure. That might not even be her real name, too.
I don't think her name is, like, Jane Phasma. I mean, you know?
So, I guess Ed wants to end the show, so let me ask you guys this real quick. Rogue One. Now, I don't know, Danny, if you've been doing your research on that, but I imagine Vader has to be in it, right? Just because of how the storyline structured?
Has to be. In fact, that's the whole trick of these movies. The prequels or the anthology is going to have the characters that we all miss coming back to pop us, like Han Solo movie coming out in 2018.
Okay, Solo movie. Is there any other ones, or are those the only two that they've set so far?
There's only two right now, I think.
The only other one that was rumored was the Boba Fett movie in 2020. And that one's almost confirmed, but not yet.
Well, goddamn, when the fuck are we going to get the Wedge movie? This is bullshit. It's 7 movies and they're still holding this motherfucker down.
Hey, if you want to read about Wedge, you got to read the anthology book. But I'm telling you right now, that shit's boring as fuck. That was one of the most boring books ever, bro. Because Wedge has a big part in that book. But other than that, that's it, man. That sucks, too, because I like Wedge.
Yeah. Never getting, always holding Wedge down, dude. It's bullshit.
I did read, you're talking about Rogue One, I did read that they're bringing back, they're trying to, I don't know, computer generated, but somehow they're going to, and
the hologram, bro.
Get Peter Cushing back in there, Grand Moff Tarkin, even though he's dead.
Why don't they
just
bring back the
Peter
actor
Cushing
from Episode 3? They should just bring back the actor from Episode 3. He looks just like him.
Yeah, I agree. Add some wrinkles.
From what I've been hearing about that story, it seems like it's going to be I'm a sucker for these stories, bro, where you get a bunch of misfits and they got to go on a mission and they all have different personalities and they all kind of clash.
Nightmare on Elm Street 3.
Well, no, I'm thinking more like aliens. Like, we're going to have that bad
Predator.
That too, yeah. And I saw the cast, and they're all, like, they actually hire actors. Like, Diego Luna's in it. He's a great fucking actor. And, you know, they actually have, they don't have these fucking galoot action stars. You know, they actually have actors that they hired. And so I'm looking for, I'm really actually excited for this movie, like, legit. Because it seems like it's going to be different. It's going to be a little darker. And so I'm looking forward to it.
I don't think they're using the Star Wars music for these either.
I don't know. That's been a question for a while now. I have no idea if they're going to use it or not.
But as far as the Star Wars movie without it, that's a big part of the movie, the music. I mean, the soundtrack for this one was incredible.
As far as us waiting for our favorite characters to get a movie, we don't have nothing to worry about because Disney's going to fucking soak every single dollar out of this franchise. We're going to start seeing D and G characters in movies pretty soon because their goal is to put out one of these every year for eternity, it seems like. So, you know, just get ready for that.
Oh, not just that, but people have been wondering, how did 3PO get his red arm? Well, there's a R2-D2 comic coming out. So they already have comic series on, like, droids now. So, yeah, everybody's going to get their own little spot.
Hey, we should all be happy that George Lucas sold out to the white slavers. So.
I love one of my favorite scenes is, and 3PO was only in it for, what, 5 minutes total, probably the whole movie, but being 3PO and you're about to have this big moment between Han Solo and Leia and they're reuniting after all these years, and the fucking 3PO has to fuck it up like he kept doing and fucking fire the whole movie.
I love that, bro. I got emotional.
Not this fucking robot again. Not this fucking guy again. You know, just that sarcastic look like, what the fuck do you want?
And then when R2 woke up after his depression, they're like low power mode. No, bro, that's depression. That's what he's going through. That was awesome, man.
Yeah.
Luke's
yeah.
little buddy.
Yeah,
R2.
Like I said, it wasn't the greatest movie ever made, but it was one of the most enjoyable movies that I've seen in a very, very long time. I mean, I really, really enjoyed it. I thought everything about it was like, not that it was a perfect movie, but they delivered on everything that I wanted out of the movie for the most part.
And, you know, at the end of the day, that's all that matters. And you know what? It couldn't have been a perfect movie. It has way too many masters to serve. You know, it had to launch a new trilogy. That right there is going to kind of cripple you on what you could do as far as giving us a fucking great, you know, 3-hour epic. It had to use characters that were already there. So there was a lot of going against it, but for what they did, you know, it was a very, very well made movie, very great movie.
Katrina, your thoughts overall on the movie?
No, just pretty much what everybody else said. I love this movie. I love Star Wars. It's just, I know Star Wars is different from every other. It has a feel that's different from every other film series that's ever been for me. You know, it's just. Something it's hard to explain. You can't really explain it. It's just Star Wars. I love it. So,
hey, Katrina, you should do a kill shot compilation of Star Wars like you did Friday the 13th.
or a limbs getting cut off compilation.
So,
limbs were lost in this movie. So is Finn in the friend zone? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, he definitely is.
He's on the bubble.
He's not even there yet. He's just like, I didn't say there was that kind of chemistry going on yet. You know, maybe later. I mean,
well, he kept trying to grab her hand, bro, and she's like, don't touch my hand. And then he's like, do you have a boyfriend? He's digging himself into that thing.
I thought he said that because he's black.
He wants a piece, and she hasn't decided one way or another.
Well, you got to understand that this General Huxtable, or whatever his name is, he probably kept them pretty well locked up, brother. They weren't getting enough play while they were getting their stormtrooper training.
His first name Cliff.
Finn is hungry.
Cliff Huxtable.
You gotta go see Creed if you want to see a Huxtable. Or turn on the TV
Creed,
and look at the news.
I actually haven't seen Creed. What Huxtable's in Creed?
Felicia Rashad's in there, I think.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, his wife is Apollo Creed's mom or whatever, and that's a great movie too, bro. But if you like Star Wars and you grew up on Rocky, you need to see that movie. It's like the same thing. It's very similar to what they did.
You know what's weird is, like, I love Rocky. I love Rocky all the way up until Rocky IV. The other ones didn't really do it for me, but for some reason, like, with Star Wars, even with the prequels, I was excited for the for Star Wars. But for some reason, I'm not excited to see Creed. I've really had no desire to see Creed. I don't understand it because as much as I love the first Rockies, for some reason, it has, like, the opposite effect that the Star Wars trilogy has had than the Rocky trilogy. It's like,
well, I wasn't
and I hear
that
it's such a great
either,
movie,
but
it's just
saw
for some
it,
reason
it was
it's
amazing.
Like, really? Because, like, you know, everyone's saying it's a good movie, this, that, and but for some reason it's like, I don't want to continue watching that saga, whereas with Star Wars, I want to continue watching that saga.
Trust me, bro, when you see Creed, especially if you're a fan of the old Rockies, you'll dig it, bro. I assure you, because it literally is a remake of Rocky 1 and Rocky 5 without the bullshit. It was done right, I assure you. It's just like Star Wars.
Well, speaking of sequels, I just saw I watched Fantastic Four the other day. Have you seen that?
Oh,
well, that's not a sequel. That's a reboot, I refuse to watch it just for the fact that they turned Johnny Storm it's not even that they turned him into a black guy, but he's a black guy who invents stuff. That's not Johnny Storm. Johnny Storm is a white boy who's a party animal and has no responsibility and is a fuck up.
Well, he's Creed, so maybe that's why you don't want to watch. Maybe subconsciously you don't want to watch Creed because he's the same actor.
Yeah, it's the same guy. Yeah. That's one of Gigi's guys, by the way. He loves him. He feels the way about Michael B. Jordan that I do about Oscar Isaac right now, so take that for what you will. The way Dave feels about Conor McGregor, same kind of love.
Already Japanese headlining New Japan.
What a boring fucking movie that Fantastic Four movie was. God damn.
Yeah.
Which one?
Yeah, yes, it was. I have no energy to get into that one right now because I've already about said everything I had to say about Fantastic Four.
I didn't think it was going to be that bad, but it was pretty bad.
Well, hopefully now that Marvel has it, they'll sit on it for a while and then bring it back.
Marvel's
right. I mean, I didn't mind the first one, the reboot, though. That one just looked like shit.
Yeah. Now, I hope that George Lucas has to sell Indiana Jones to Marvel. That way they won't fuck it up like they did with the fourth one.
No, Indiana Jones is owned by Disney. Disney bought all of Lucasfilm, including Indiana Jones.
Oh, so now they own it too.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I'm pretty sure Disney even owns Captain EO.
And Willow.
And Willow. Yeah, they do. They own it all.
Speaking of upcoming movies, real quick, and then I'm going to go ahead and end the show, but one of the previews that I saw was for The Jungle Book, and that got me really hyped. That kind of got me hyped for that movie. I mean, it's based more on the cartoon than the actual movie, The Jungle Book, but did you guys see that preview, and what did you think about that? Are you excited to see that one?
I haven't seen
that
preview yet.
Yeah, I didn't get it.
Oh, man.
I'm excited to see The Secret Life of Pets.
Oh, I like the trailer for that. It doesn't tell you much, but it's wacky.
That looks fucking awesome. That looks great.
Yeah. I'll check it out.
It was called The Secret Life of Pets, animated.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Yeah.
Did you see the preview for Jungle Book?
No, I didn't get that one. And I was actually kind of pissed I didn't get that one, and I didn't get the one for Deadpool. But we did get X-Men. That looks like it'd be pretty good.
Yeah, I didn't get... Well, the Jungle Book one, it's not the remake of the Jungle Book movie. It's the remake in live action of the Jungle Book cartoon with the bear.
Oh, that's right. And isn't Scarlett Johansson playing the snake or some shit?
It might be, because it's a chick. The way the preview starts is, like, you're seeing scenes and you're hearing a voice, and the voice is like, I know who you are. And just kind of like describing him. And at first, I'm thinking it's the panther. But then it's the snake. And they show the snake. And I think it is Charles Johansson. But it's just, it looks, fucking awesome, man. It blew me away. I mean, I never thought I'd be excited to see the Jungle Book. I mean, I like the cartoon and everything, but I never thought it would be like the way they've kind of made it out to. They made it out to look fucking badass.
As long as it's not molesting.
Did they sing the bare necessities?
The very last scene of the preview is like the bear is like doing the backstroke and he's on the bear, and the last thing you hear is like the three notes, the bear is necessity.
That's awesome, bro. I'm going to check that trailer out when we get off. I want to see that.
Yeah.
The movie
go ahead and end the show already. So, D, I appreciate you coming on the show. Draven, I appreciate you calling in. And right. Next week, we will get back to the wrestling talk. Come back then.
Wait. Before we go, who's going? I'm going to be at WrestleMania. You guys are all going to be there or no?
I'll be there.
I'll be somewhere.
You better be there.
At least somewhere. And there's going to be about 1,000 wrestling shows, and I'm sure the Rock and Roll Express will be booked in one of them. So we're definitely going to have to meet up somewhere.
Well, I'm staying at the WrestleCon Hotel. And I think that's where the ROH show is. I'm going to ROH Friday, and then I'm going to haul ass to try and see at least half of NXT. And then there's rumors that they might add a late night Lucha Underground show, so I might hit that up too. And then Saturday I'm hitting up Shimmer in the afternoon and Hall of Fame.
Shimmer.
Yeah. Classic. Shimmer's always one of the best shows.
Okay, cool. And, I'm gonna hit up wherever the Honky Tonk Man's booked, that's where I'll be, because I know he'll be booked somewhere.
He'll be at WrestleCon, I'm sure.
Yep. So that's where I'll be.
Cool. Well, that'd be awesome. We'll hang out. We'll smoke. I'm definitely taking some fucking weed with me to Dallas, so we'll smoke out.
Good. All right. Thanks for having me, and I'll see you guys later then.
Oh, no problem, man. Have a good night, Draven. Hey, D, if you want to throw out some plugs, I just remembered I got to throw out the plugs too. If you got anything you want to plug, please feel free.
Yeah, I'll do it real quick, bro. Check out my new YouTube channel. I don't really do that much podcasting anymore. Not like before, but check out Geekdom 101. I talk about Star Wars on there a lot. And a lot of people are wondering, okay, what is the relationship between the Resistance, the First Order, and the New Republic? They didn't really explain it in the movie. I got a video dropping next week about that. So going to explain a lot of things that weren't explained in the movie. So rather than have you go through all the books and figure everything out, I've done the work for you. So check out Geekdom, and I do movie reviews and talk about Dragon Ball on there. And so check that out. That's my new project right now, just youtube.com/Geekdom, GEEKDOM 101. That's what I'm doing.
Cool. And everyone check out AngryMerch.com. You can always download the Streamer Show at AngryMerch.com along with a lot of other shows. You can also download the Streamer Show at blogtalkradio.com/Katrair. And older shows at blogtalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can get us on iTunes at Keyword Angry Marks. And you can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo. And you can follow me at Twitter at Ed San Antonio. Katrair, that's your cue.
Oh, yeah. You can go to youtube.com/Katrair. I've got tons of wrestling videos up there. I got 4 years of Memphis, if you're into that. And I'm going to be putting up you'll like this, Ed. Next week, I'm going to be putting up a fan of a bunch of episodes of Southwest Championship Wrestling. I'll be putting those up, too. So.
Really?
Oh, fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I remember all that shit. But everybody, come back next week, and we will talk to you all then. Da 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 da
Ba 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 ba